I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken head, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. Oh, my friend, they come around, fight the party, open rants on the west side, bed bugs, and down, what a mess, time to tatter, brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do it. Shake it up. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS-4227. Head old check. Eddie O, Edzo, will join us from NBC at 1040 East, 740 West. David Dusick at 11 o'clock, 8 West. By the way, I think the Russell Wilson deadline is tonight out in Seattle. Good evening, Seattle. Hopefully you don't lose your quarterback there. He won't sign after the deadline. That is the threat that has been thrown down. The gauntlet has been thrown down by Chara. Is that his wife? She's given the Seahawks a whatever. Chara, Sierra, Sierra Nevada, Sierra Mountains. Hopefully they'll get that done tonight out in Seattle. Very busy. There's a lot of good music and food there. Everybody's very busy. People are so busy. Wasn't it Palm Sunday or something? People very religious. Today, the great Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, caught fire. Did you see that? That was quite a story today.
Did it just catch fire? That thing's practically burned to the ground.
Yeah, did the whole thing burn to the ground? Because I know they said they saved half of it, didn't they?
They saved some of it. The bell towers, I think, are still intact, but the one main spire fell in. Most of it was made of wood, like 850-year-old wood. So
right, I saw that. Pretty good job though by the 850-year-old wood though to make it this long. Think about that. The performance by that those 2x4s. Nice effort there by them. Strong effort, but horrible for the people in Paris. I feel bad for them. Although I have been to St. Martin a lot, and they're very French there, and they hate Americans. Just wanted to say that. So, but I feel horrible for everybody in France and Paris for the loss. It was definitely bad to see. Anyway, here's what's going on right now. The Sixers. Thank God I laid the 7 tonight with the Sixers. They are pummeling the Nets after the third quarter. They're going to the fourth, 116-87. That's pretty much lights out right there, isn't it? And then the nightcap will be Clip Joint Warriors in the East Bay. At Oracle for the Warriors, who are up 1-0 in that series. That's it for tonight in the NBA. Hockey, the Leafs beat the Bruins 3-2 at Game 3 in Toronto. They now lead that series over Boston 2-1. That thing is shaping up night by night to be a 7-gamer. The Canes got back into their series with the Capitals with a 5-0 blanking of the Capitals. Although I will say that Ovechkin knocked out some 19-year-old kid tonight, Svetnikov, is that his name? He was leveled, knocked unconscious.
He gave him a beating.
He was out of it. I mean, that guy, when he woke up, he looked like he had some serious muscle problems going on, muscle spasms. He was tweaking. He was a mess, that kid. I feel bad for that kid. He got his ass rung up. Predators and Stars are underway in Dallas. Game 3 there. Good evening, Dallas. Flames and Avalanche set to go any second. I believe they should be underway already at the Pepsi Can. They have not dropped the puck yet. They must be, it's the double anthems. It takes forever. We'll talk to Ed Olczyk about that and all of the other series going on. The Islanders are up 3-0 on the Penguins. They're kicking their ass. The Blue Jackets are up 3-0 on the Lightning. They are bending them over. Like the Penguins are bent over, and then the Blues lost. They're up 2-1, and game four is tomorrow against the Jets. Jets beat them 6-3 on Sunday, and the Vegas Golden Knights are up 2-1, and they beat the Sharks 6-3. I think your boy Stone had a hattie. And then the bottom line is they play game four there in Vegas, I believe, tomorrow night. So I gave you tonight's games. Tomorrow night, Lightning, Blue Jackets, Islanders, Penguins, Jets, Blues, and Sharks, Golden Knights. That is Tuesday's schedule, and we'll talk to Ed Olczyk about all those series going on. Just wanted to say, as far as the NBA goes, beyond the games tonight, I watched several games over the weekend, like all of them. Celtics beat the Pacers easily. I don't know if you watched that game, though. The last possession, they had about 5 seconds left. They could have shot a three and covered. They chose to dribble the ball out. I'm sure that went over well in Vegas. You come all the way back for no reason, no reason at all. You come all the way back because they were down 20. They came all the way back, and then you decide not to shoot another jumper after you, you know, were chucking threes all the way till 5 seconds left, and then you stop. All you needed was one more J, you cover. Thanks for nothing. Therefore, I hate the Pacers now for the remainder of the season. The Blazers, I took them and laid three. They beat the Thunder 104-99, their first win in 50 years in the postseason. The Bucks beat the Pistons 121-86. That was ugly. No Blake Griffin in that series. I'm thinking at this point, sweep. No Blake Griffin, no chance. 121-86 says it all, doesn't it? And the Rockets pummeled the Jazz. I'm a little surprised that Utah didn't show up for the game. 122-90. It was all Rockets. And then on Saturday, I watched the Nets beat the Sixers. The Magic beat the Raptors. I bet on both of them spread-wise to cover, and they did. And I hit the Warriors to win, and they beat the Clippers 121-104. More of that tonight. And then I lost flat out on the Spurs. They went to Denver and beat Denver and easily by five. They were getting 5.5. So tonight, one game left. Warriors-Clippers. This Sixer game is toast. It's 118-89. It is, as our friend Marv Albert would say, garbage time. Is that not about accurate? I believe so. All right, so one other thing. Baseball going on tonight. A bevy of activity. A good game in Philadelphia. Mets lead the Phillies 6-5 in the eighth. Cubs 6-2 on the Marlins in the eighth. How about this one? Cardinals-Brewers in Brewtown tied at sixes in the sixth. Blue Jays lead the Twins 5-3 at Target. Rangers doubling up the Angels 8-4 in the sixth. Royals lead the White Sox 3-2, bottom six, south side of Chicago. Reds and Dodgers and Chavez Ravine underway in the first. Rockies Padres underway at Petco. Indians Seattle underway in Seattle. Keeping an eye on the situation with Russell Wilson at the baseball stadium at T-Mobile. There's a picture of him and a clock that's ticking with a stack of money and a picture of Chara doing morning hot yoga at the baseball game tonight. Orioles over the Red Sox 8-1. Hey, Boston looks fantastic coming off that World Series win. A nice start to their season. And then when is the last time you saw them get bent over on a Boston Marathon Day? Isn't that what they call it? What do they call it? Is there a name? Patriots Day. A little surprised the Patriots didn't play a game today. Tom Brady now playing at 74 years old. Still looking fantastic, though, with his high-tech helmet that he wears. It's kept him in the game an extra 25 years. All right, there you go. Playoffs rolling in hockey and hoops. So is PharrellOnABench.com. Great picks, great price, great return. PharrellOnABench.com has everything NBA, NHL, baseball, boxing, MMA. Sign up today. Tomorrow, episode 200. Can you believe it? Of Pharrell on the Bets. Subscribe and follow on Twitter at OnTheBets. WWO drops in the morning on iTunes, Google Play, and WestwoodOnePodcast.com. There you go.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Yasiel Puig hit a home run off of Kershaw in his return first at bat at Dodger Stadium. How about that? Like, they got rid of him like cancer, right? And yeah. They, like, did someone not say today in Scott Miller's article on Bleacher Report that if he would have given half a Shaq at all, he'd still be a Dodger. Like, he just absolutely doesn't care about anything, is basically what they said about him. Is that not accurate?
That must have been some trot around the bases.
I got to see it because I mean, it is unbelievable. So,
did you see that he missed the ring ceremony?
Well, I know he missed that. He was 70 minutes late. Let's put it this way. If he even halfway gave a shack, he would still be with the Dodgers. That's what was said about him. And then other teammates, no comment of his, the way he behaved with the Dodgers teammates. That's his decision. I love him, but I'm done talking about Puig. He's not here anymore. I talk to him a lot on the phone, things like this, things like that. Bottom line is this. Some people think that is I was reading about the deterioration of his arm, they're saying, like scouts. I was reading how they said that his arm isn't what it used to be. It used to be an 80, and now it's a 70 on their rankings or something like this. Did you see all that? That he doesn't work on his arm. He just goes out and plays and throws it as hard as he can from the outfield.
That's it.
And they said that that's gonna deteriorate because he doesn't work on his throwing, and at some point will no longer be an asset. He said, fans love the way I play, appreciate my crazy stuff, licking the bat, running all the time, throw people out when all the other fielders can't throw somebody out like I do. Sometimes when I throw somebody out, I say, damn, how can I do that? That's the way I play. I like to have fun every day in the game, and that's the reason the fans love that from myself. And then he's got this new guy, Turner Ward, the hitting coach. He's good friends with him, apparently. They go to dinner, and to Dave and Buster's is what he said, their family. And that now he kisses that guy after he hits home runs when he comes back to the dugout. So I guess he gave him a big kiss tonight. How funny is that, though, that he went back to Dodger Stadium, and in his first at-bat, he jacked a home run? I mean, honestly.
A little revenge homer for him. I got to find this and see if he cut the mustard a little bit, because you know that Puig loves to do that. He loves it.
The bat toss.
Oh, the whole deal.
Lick the bat. And then
off of Kershaw, too. Huh?
And then the wide turns.
Oh, the wide turn. You know that was a wide turn going to first
base. Do you
think
he stopped at second for a hot dog and a lemonade, maybe?
With him, anything is possible.
He's hitting 163 in Cincinnati. He's off to a blazing start. But meanwhile, they allegedly, quote-unquote, love him.
I'm sure he's a great clubhouse presence.
Oh,
good,
yeah,
for the young guys.
Is he not? He's been like is he not like the laziest dude ever and does whatever he wants?
What it seems to be the case around the game.
Well, he's got a zero reputation. Zero. Like, none. No one thinks anything of him. They think
they love him in Cincinnati.
Allegedly. Not for long.
It's still early.
Yeah, Scott Miller said that it is early, and that in the end, will he get a new deal, right? Because isn't he working off of his current deal?
I believe so.
So he'll be a free agent, or they'll offer him a deal. Do you think that the city of Cincinnati can handle him? Seriously. They couldn't handle him in Los Angeles.
The question is, can he handle the city of Cincinnati? I don't know. Okay.
Probably not. I mean, if he's a free agent, wouldn't he want to go somewhere bigger, grander? You know where do you think he'd want to play in Miami?
That's where he should. That's where I feel like he'll end up.
Do you think Jeter would put up with him?
No.
So why would he go there then?
I'm saying he would probably want to go there.
What about Tampa? He'd still be close.
Yeah, I mean,
but
maybe.
I don't think that guy wants anything to do with Cuba.
No, probably not at this point. He's been gone for a while.
But that ship has sailed, no pun intended. How many times did he do it? Five?
Something like
that.
Didn't
he have to go over five times?
Multiple chances.
He got on the floating Tom Sawyer raft and tried to go over the 90 miles. He was on that, remember Tom Sawyer? Who was it? Mark Twain? Who did I say? Tom Sawyer? Wasn't that a song by Rush?
Yes, it was a Mark Twain book and a song by Rush. He didn't even go, straight from Miami, though. Didn't he, get brought into Mexico and then snuck over the border that way? Like, he had a ridiculous journey
to get
there.
With my boy, El Chapo. He was in a toilet tunnel coming out of the prison with your boy, El Chapo. Yaziel Puig. I doubt it. So Calgary and Colorado are underway. Is that what's going on here? And that's a break in the other game. End of the period. Stars and Predators scoreless. And so they picked up this game 7 minutes in the Pepsi can in Denver. Are they going to start talking about how it's hard to win a hockey game in Denver now because you can't breathe? You know, that whole
altitude.
The altitude factor.
It was a problem for the Spurs on Saturday night, right?
Yeah, they had a lot of trouble with it when they were winning. They couldn't breathe while they won by five in game one. Weren't the Nuggets going to take out the Warriors?
That's what we were told. I mean, we were told that by people.
Weren't they the greatest team in the NBA going to take them out? Who do you think has a chance to take him out? I think the Rockets are the only team.
I mean, I guess. I don't even consider them.
You see another thing I wanted to bring up is that Kyrie Irving, here's your guy who's, right, never happy, right? Isn't he miserable year-round? He's never happy anywhere. So is that not accurate?
Accurate.
Okay. So he's now, you know, he wants, everybody's saying he's going to the Knicks with Durant, all this other BS, right? So how happy did he look on Sunday kicking ass and taking names in that game against the Pacers? I mean, they killed him, right? But they were up 20-some, 25. So they killed him. And did they not look like they were having fun? Like, the playoff version of the Celtics is so different than their bored-to-death paycheck team that plays just for the checks. They don't care about anything in a regular season. That is not even remotely the team I watch come out and play the Pacers. I mean, they are just like night and day. And Kyrie Irving looks like the happiest guy in the world playing with them, doesn't he? I mean, let's face facts. He's a phony. That's all there is to it. He's
100%
phony. He is a phony. I don't care what anybody says. He talks about how miserable he is, and then the guy, you know, when he's winning and he's playing with the Celtics in the playoffs, he's loving life. He looked like he was loving life Sunday, didn't he? Did he not?
Sure, it's playoff time now.
Now he's happy as
hell. Now it's time to make the big bucks this summer.
Oh, now, and the Celtics win, right? And then what happened? Now Brad Stevens, the greatest coach in the world again. Greatest coach in the world. And then now everything else is working out, too. Wasn't Morris the guy complaining the most? How, I don't know what's going on around here, but it's a mess. He was the leading scorer. He looked like it was the greatest day of his life yesterday. And then it looked like your Jaylen Brown was getting in fights, and they were playing at a high level. Tatum, all of them, right? They all looked like happy to me. Pigs in a blanket. These guys are phonies, man.
I think we talked about this all year. This is exactly what we thought was going to happen with the Celtics. They sleptwalked through the entire regular season.
That's right.
Didn't care. And then they showed up on Sunday, and they're ready to go now.
I'll believe it when I see it. That guy leaves there, Kyrie Irving. I'll believe it when he leaves. Well, he's going to the Knicks, right? Does he not have the life of Riley there in Boston? And what more could you want in life? But it's not enough for him. You remember, it was not enough in Cleveland with LeBron winning a championship. Not enough in Boston with the greatest coach on earth, right? And now he'll be unhappy there and go where? Where's he going to find happiness? Heaven? Hell?
Go save LeBron.
Oh, please. You think LeBron's enjoying the playoffs? He'll be watching. He's going to be on TNT, right? Isn't he about to commit for Charles Barkley to be on the show? His ego can't stop him from going to do that show. They're begging him to come on.
He's not really going to do it, is he?
Oh, you know he's going to do it.
His first chance to do TV. He's been in the finals for what, 7, 8, 9 years in a row. He finally gets a chance to
It'll
do a little TV.
It'll be a great chance to promote the $1 Million Mile and the barbershop. Oh, God. It's like, if you let me talk about those two things for upwards of 10 minutes, I'll do it. There you go. So did you see the guy that won $1.2 million for Tiger Woods? He bet $85,000. Now, he said it's the first bet he's ever made in his life. I don't believe that. Who walks into a sports book and bets $85,000 unless you've done it before? He's a liar.
Right, especially you flew in, bet, flew back. Like, you have that much money to just waste. Just fly to Vegas to bet $85,000 and walk out and have no worries. That's not your first time.
Whether you believe him or not, he won $1.2 million.
Maybe it's your first time on golf. It definitely ain't your first time.
But that's quite a day. It's a painful day for William Hill, according to our buddy Nick Bogdanovich, but a great day for golf. Are you surprised that they took the bet and that they paid it out? Don't they not like, allegedly, we've heard the stories of, they don't like certain winners?
Well, that just means he won't be able to bet again.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. They'll take anyone's action. But once you win $1.2 million, you're not welcome back in the sports book, right?
Right. I'm not surprised they took the money because, of course, they didn't think Tiger was going to win. They thought that was an easy $85,000 for them.
What was – now, I love –
they have to pay it out. Once you take it, you got it. Well, the state's going to shut you down.
I love William Hill. I think they're great. I think that they should, you know, let everyone bet at every one of their sports books always, no matter who they are. It's just simple. Do you know how much money they make off of sports bettors? Are you kidding me? Anyway.
I saw it real fast. I saw the Puig homer. A pretty good stare once he hit it. And, yeah, it took him about an hour and a half to get around the bases.
Really? I got to come in there and watch it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. the great Ed Olchek, Edzo, Eddie O, in Pittsburgh for the funeral of my Penguins tomorrow. It's a all-day funeral procession that everyone's invited to. If you like wakes and funerals, tomorrow Pittsburgh's the place to be. Right, Edzo?
First off, Scotty, nice to be with you, pal. Hope you're doing well. And I don't know if they're having me to come in to bring the flowers, or do I get a plane ticket and get ready to head back to Long Island for game five. Look, I'm not surprised that the Islanders leading the series. I am surprised that they're up 3-0. I thought that the Islanders had every chance to win the series. I thought it would be long, but right now it looks like it's going to be short. So good for the Islanders, and obviously tough sledding to this point for the Penguins.
You know, I got to tell you, they look dead to me, to rights. I mean, they absolutely – I couldn't believe, to be honest with you. I bet on the Islanders first two games, no problem, in the Coliseum. Sure. I thought they'd win. But the performance I saw on Sunday was so great by the Islanders and so bad by the Penguins. I honestly, they played so bad, if you ask me, that they're finished. They're done.
Well, look, I thought that the Penguins missed some opportunities early in game three at home. That new line that Mike Sullivan put together, the Crosby, Gensel, Simone line, they had a couple of really good looks early and weren't able to cash in. And look, the Islanders took over, and there was a long stretch there in a second period where, I mean, the Penguins had nothing. I mean, they just could not get anything generated, and you know, I think it has a lot more to do with what's going on with the guys without the puck than the guys with the puck. But come playoff time, Scotty, as we talked over the years, and you know this, is that you know the rink gets a little bit smaller come playoff time. The rink shrinks, and sometimes you have to come outside your comfort zone. And I think for the Penguins now, just to look, I think the mindset's got to be, look, let's win a period. Let's not worry about winning a game. Let's not worry about winning a series. We know that that's the mindset in the big picture. But for them, it's, you know, maybe they got to play a chess match game. Maybe they got to try to win a 2-1 game. Maybe they just got to get the puck in at the red line, dump it in, go get it, whatever it is. But I thought they had some opportunities yesterday early. They've been chasing the game, and they've been chasing the series. And Barry Trotz and Islanders, that's not the team to do that with, Scotty, because they are so good when they have the lead. They are so good when they are driving the bus, and they've been driving the bus for the majority of this series.
Yeah, I mean, Crosby, I don't think he has a point, does he?
No, no points.
Well, that's
no,
it. No, I said
he could have 5 points in a series, like he, without a doubt. I mean, he could have, but I it's not just one guy. And look, if they're going to get back into it, it's got to be right in the middle of it. Malkin, Gensel, you know, their big guys are going to have to get on the board. And like I said, maybe they got to win a 2-1 game. Maybe they got to win a 3-2, you know, a 3-1 game with an empty net or something like that, just to give them some confidence, because there's no doubt. I mean, they're shaken, and rightfully so. They're down 3-0. But I think Sid has been – I see the effort. I see, you know, him fighting guys off and making plays, but – again, playoff hockey is all about team, and you know, I would expect Sid to have a big push tomorrow night.
The Islanders have done it to him. I think they've done it to Crosby, and they've played great hockey and dominant hockey, and the fact that he has no points is – I said going in on the air here and on Carver High's ILC podcast show he does, that if he has a big series, it's over, they'll win. If he doesn't, they won't. And not only but they won't. I never thought predicated that he'd have no points. I've never seen that guy not have a point in anything in my life. So that's all I know. Yeah. Let me ask you about some other teams. The Blue Jackets are kicking the Lightning's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think of that?
I mean, it is shocking that they're up 3-0. Very similar to this series. But I think the one thing that we saw last year was Columbus up 2 Cobb to Washington. Two very, very close games. If you go back to last year's playoffs and you remember, Scotty, the first two games were overtime. So it was either way, like close games. Then they went back to Columbus, and as a double OT'er, Washington found a way when Lars Eller was a pinball, you know, type of reaction goal, and Washington got life and they never lost again. The first two games of this series, if you take period one out, and if I'm not mistaken, it was a 3-0 lead after one for Tampa in game one. Since that time, Columbus has been the better team. And when you looked at it, winning the first two on the road, it was a little closer. Then you sit there, okay, well, Tampa should, you know, have their opportunity. And yeah, we know the suspension of Kucherov and Hedman still banged up since the end of the season. He didn't play, you know, in game three, and who knows if he's going to play in game four. So what I'm getting at is that very similar to last year when you talk about Columbus going on the road and winning, but how they won, you could sit there and go, you know what? They're going to go up 3-0 in a series, especially when Kucherov and Hedman are playing. So look, give John Tortorella, head coaches of CBJ, a lot of credit. Their big guys have stepped up in a big way. Matt Duchene is playing out of his mind. Bob is playing great in goal. Cam Atkinson, one of the smaller players in the league, is going to the front of the net every shift he's out there. And Seth Jones and Werenski are a couple of beasts back there. And so, look, I mean, good for Columbus considering what happened to him last year. But, you know, look, I thought Tampa would be in a pretty good spot in the series, but they haven't played anywhere near to the way we've seen in the regular season. But as we know, playoff hockey is way different than it is in the regular season. And right now, Columbus just has more will, more want. They're out working Tampa Bay, and they got themselves a well-deserved 3-0 lead.
So Vegas is up 2-1. Stone had a Hattie last night, and then I guess your boy Jumbotron got suspended for a game. What do you think of that suspension and that series?
Mm-hmm. You know, I was traveling. I saw a little bit of the game last night, but when you get old like me, Scotty, I mean, by the time we get to about 10:08 Central Time, man, I remove the toothpicks and I just close my lids, and then I wake up and, you know, see what happened in the world in the morning.
All right.
I wasn't sure because there's been plays in these playoffs. There's been plays in these playoffs that how about the Makar kid? He just scored his first goal in his first game ever in the National Hockey League, the kid from UMass Amherst.
Right, he's great. Great player.
Colorado, and they're up 3-0 on Calgary. The kid steps up and scores, and wow, what a moment for that kid inserting in the lineup. Not an easy spot, but Vegas, San Jose, if you were watching our broadcast on NBCSN the night the playoffs started, I thought that this series, every game, would be a high-scoring affair. And to this point, we're 3-for-3 for hopefully somebody was listening to the broadcast and got their feet wet, Scotty, if you know what I mean. And they're going to miss Jumbo because he's played pretty good hockey so far. But I saw the hit. I was in between on it. I thought Dougie Hamilton was going to get suspended for the elbow.
Right.
The other night, hitting Kuznetsov, nothing happened there. So I really wasn't sure what to think of the Thornton hit from last game, and he ended up getting a one-game suspension.
So Toronto wins tonight. They're up 2-1, and then Matthews finally put one in the net, and everybody was saying, what's wrong with this guy after a huge season, had no points, donuts in the first two games, but he scored tonight, and they won 3-2, and Kadri's been suspended for the rest of the series for his filthy cross-check.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
I said on TV the other day, I was asked, what do I think? I said, well, I mean, look, if I was making a decision, I would give him 10 games. I thought it was a selfish play. He was having a great game to that point. He let his emotions get the better of him, obviously. But we can't have guys skating around the rink, taking their stick and cross-checking somebody in the head. Now, look, I mean, what happens if, again, it didn't happen? Jake DeBrus lays there, and he just lays there, and he lays there, and a stretcher comes out and all that. I mean, we know what the intent was. He's been suspended before. I like the decision by the league, given the rest of the series. I think that he got lucky, Kadri, that it's only five, but it doesn't matter what I think or you think or how many games the league thought five. And the Leafs had a gutsy effort tonight. I mean, they went toe to toe. They went shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
Got the lead, weren't chasing it, and played a very good home game. So, look, Toronto's got some life. They got some belief. I thought that that series would go at least six. And it looks like it's certainly leaning in that direction.
So I haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, what'd you think about the cross check? What'd you think about
it? I just thought it was typical for him. I mean, he did it last year, and I thought it was unnecessary. But he's that kind of guy. I mean, it's pretty obvious he's got a rap sheet now. So I'm not surprised at all he did it, and I'm not surprised at all they suspended him again. It's 2 years in a row. Like he's now. Like, you know, hurting his team, and that's the bottom line. I got to ask you quickly, you look fantastic on TV. I'm so happy for you. We prayed for you with everything you went through with your cancer battle, and we've talked about this before, but I just think you look terrific. How do you feel? How's life? How's your health? How's your recovery going? Because you really, you look like you never went through it, and I know you've been through hell.
Well, I'm feeling good, Scotty. Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate the support and the texts and the prayers over the last little while. And I'm feeling good. I got my big scan. I got my year out scan from stopping my chemotherapy last year, and that'll be coming up. Actually, the week of the Derby, I'll be getting my scan, and all my tests look good right now. There's no reason to think anything other than that, but. Anybody that's been through it themselves or has had family members or friends go through that, I mean, it's an emotional time, and just hoping and praying that everything's going to look clean on that scan and I can really have peace of mind. But been feeling good, back to a normal schedule, and really looking forward to these playoffs and looking forward to, of course, the Triple Crown, which is, not even, over a couple of weeks away from right now. So looking forward to getting to Louisville and doing what I love to do on the side.
Is there a horse in the Derby? How about look good on that scan? We could have that horse look good on that scan. Take the Derby at 50-1, a little backdoor butter.
Hey, well, you know what? If you would have called me in February, and this is out there, so this isn't any Monday morning quarterbacking, that back in February I was touting a horse by the name of Roadster, and I got Roadster at 24-1, believe it or not, in February, and then I got him again at 19-1 in March, and he goes on and wins the Santa Anita Derby for Mr. Bob Baffert.
Right.
And it looks like now that if the Derby started tomorrow, a lot of people think that he would be one of the top two or three choices. And look, I think the Derby's got a chance to be you got a chance for the favorite to be 4-1, and then the next horse, five. I mean, you got a chance to have five or six horses all between 4-1 and 8 or 9-1. So value is going to be there, but I like my tickets on Roadster, and if the Derby was tomorrow, that would be my pick right now.
All right, Edzo, I love you. I'm glad your health is good. I know your family's stoked. I know all your broadcast partners are stoked. NBC's stoked. Everybody's happy for you. I'll talk to you during the Derby. Thanks for coming on and talking pucks with us tonight. God bless you. I'm so glad you're doing well.
Thanks, Scotty. Love you, pal.
You there he is, Ed Olczyk, the great Eddie O. Edzo, legend, great American hockey player. He's good for America. He's good for all people everywhere, including people in France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.